heard through two or three witnesses. Amen? Through the testimony of two or three witnesses. And the songs that we sang this morning coincide with the word that I'm going to share. The offering message coincides with the word that God has given place in my heart. You know, it's amazing how God inspires us. Amen? I don't know how God inspires you, but He inspires me in many different ways. And one of the ways that I was inspired over the last couple of weeks is, well, about a month ago, Cam asked me to share the word for this Sunday. And if you're going to share a word, sometimes you can get into a grip of fear. Well, what am I going to talk about? What am I going to say? But, you know, if you just allow the Holy Spirit to speak to you, He will give you the words that you need to say. Amen? So we don't trust in our own abilities. We don't trust in our own understanding. We just allow the Holy Spirit to minister to us and to speak to us. And so over the past couple of weeks, as I'm pondering, okay, God, what do you have for the people for this Sunday? He inspired me in a couple different ways. And one of the ways that He inspired me is that I was watching a movie called Robin Hood. Anybody ever seen that movie, Robin Hood, with Russell Crowe? And to sum it up in a short story, the French were coming against the English country. And so the Lord had risen up the countrymen to stand up against the French invaders. And they were all together in this one compound. And Russell Crowe was there, and he breaks open the cement block, and he lifts it up, and there's an inscription underneath that stone. And it was placed there by his dad. Well, I don't know if it was placed by his dad, but him and his dad both put their handprints in the cement. And so this word was written in there. And when they seek to oppress you, and when they try to destroy you, rise and rise again and again, until the lambs have become lions and the rule of darkness is no more. Powerful word. And when they seek to destroy you, and when they seek to oppress you, He says, rise and rise and rise again. Oftentimes in our lives, we face many difficult circumstances. We are oppressed. Jesus said that He came to heal all that were sick and oppressed of the devil. Folks, you are going to be oppressed by the devil. If you bear Jesus' name and you follow Jesus Christ, I can guarantee you that you're going to be oppressed. Amen? Oppression will come from many different sources and many different avenues. But you need to know that Jesus healed all who were sick and oppressed of the devil. That's comforting to know that when you're coming under oppression, that God is with you, that He hasn't left you or abandoned you to yourself. And the second way that God inspired me was through a song. As Kathy and I were driving out to Kenora, Ontario, to spend a week with my friend and his wife in just on this side of Kenora, in Patty Lake. This guy I've known almost 50 years now. Him and I were friends at 16 years old. We met in Brandon, Manitoba. And we just stayed friends over the years. We just stayed connected. Sometimes we'd go for, 5 years at a time. We wouldn't talk to each other, see each other. But God has reconnected us over the last probably 4-7 years, I guess. And we've gone out to spend time with Him. And last year I was able to lead him to Christ. But as we were driving out to Kenora, the song came. I was put it in my CD player, and I'm just going to play it for you. I want you to listen very closely to the first few words that are spoken.
Is it true that God can save a nation? Well, is it true? I must believe it. Is it true that God can break a nation? Yes, it's true. And I feel it, I feel, I feel it. Did you feel the mountains tremble? Did you hear the oceans roar?
when the people rose to sing of Jesus Christ the risen one. Hey! Did you feel the people tremble? Did you hear the singers roar? When the lost began to sing of Jesus Christ the saving one. And we can see that you're just moving, a mighty river through the nation. And young and old will turn to Jesus.
Powerful song. The title of my message this morning is, Can God Save a Nation? Can God Change a Nation? If we look at the state of our nation today, it's pretty messy. You look at the state of many nations around the world, they're pretty messy. Can God change a nation? In the first part of that, he says, is it true that God can save a nation? Is it true that God can save a nation? There's many references in the Bible where God changed the nation. And then he goes on to say, if it's true, I must believe it. I must believe it. If God can change a nation, I must believe it. If God is going to change this nation of Canada, we must believe that he's going to do it. We just can't hope he's going to change a nation. We just can't wish that he's going to change it. We must believe that he's going to change this nation of Canada. Not only is he going to change this nation of Canada, we also have to have the faith that God can change our church. God can change our community. God can change our family. He can change our loved ones. If we don't believe it, is it ever going to happen? No. We must believe that God can do it. And when we believe that God can do it, he will go to work on our behalf. Because God works through our faith in the words that we speak. Amen? If it's true, I must believe it. You know, Dane referenced Nehemiah. Well, Nehemiah might have been, as Dane said, a little short guy, but he wasn't a short guy by any means. He was tall in the Lord because Nehemiah had a great faith. Amen? He had faith that God could do something. He had faith to believe God's word, which was God had promised that he was going to restore the nation of Israel, beginning in Jerusalem. You know, when God wants to bring about change in a situation, a family or a nation, God doesn't step down from heaven and do it. God uses people, ordinary people, just like you and I. He just uses the ordinary people. If you look through the Bible, you see how many different individuals that God used, imperfect people by all means, just like you and I, imperfect in many ways. God isn't looking for perfection. God is looking for someone who has a heart for him, who loves him, and who has a passion. You know, something inside me stirred inside me when I heard that song. Something inside me stirred when I was watching that movie and then when I seen that inscription. Honestly, I cried both times. What's going on, God? What are you stirring inside of me? What's he doing inside of you when you hear something? Does it, you know, what makes you passionate? What are you passionate about? Nehemiah was passionate about seeing the nation of Israel restored. In Nehemiah chapter 1, verses 1 to 11, he says, the words of Nehemiah, the son of Helkali, it came to pass in the month of Chislev, in the 20th year, I was in Shushan, the citadel, that Hanani, one of my brethren, came with men from Judah, and I asked them concerning the Jews who had escaped, who had survived the captivity, and concerning Jerusalem. And they said to me, the survivors who are left from the captivity in the province are there in great distress and reproach. The wall of Jerusalem is also broken down, and its gates are burned with fire. So it was, when I heard these words, that I sat down and wept and mourned for many days. When I heard these words, I sat down and wept. When you hear about tragedies, when you hear about families that are going through struggles, does it break your heart? When you see your friends struggling financially, does it break your heart? Does it cause you to sit down and weep before God on their behalf? It should. It should. The burden of the Lord should be heavy on our hearts for those that we know and love, especially the body of Christ and our own personal families. If our hearts aren't stirred, why? Have we become hard-hearted? When someone is struggling, do we look at them and say, oh, well, if they'd have just done this or they'd just done that, they wouldn't be in the situation that they're in today? You might be right. But the Bible said, God's mercy. God's mercy. I'll tell you, folks, we need the mercy of God. I need the mercy of God in my life. We all need the mercy of God in our lives. So it was when I heard these words that I sat down and wept and mourned for many days. I was fasting and praying before the God of heaven. And I said, I pray, God, Lord God of heaven, O great and awesome God, you who keep your covenant and mercy with those who love you and observe your commandments, please let your ear be attentive and your eyes open, that you may hear the prayer of your servants, which I pray before you now, day and night, for the children of Israel, your servants, and confess the sins of the children of Israel, which we have sinned against you. Both my father's house and I have sinned. Nehemiah identified with his nation. Nehemiah identified with his people. He didn't point a finger at them. He identified with them. And he took responsibility. He says, we have done it. He didn't say, you did it or they did it, Lord. He didn't blame anybody else. But he stood in the gap and said, Lord, we have done it. We have done it. We have acted very corruptly against you and have not kept the commandments, the statutes, nor the ordinances which you commanded, your servant Moses. Remember, I pray, the word that you commanded your servant Moses, saying, if you are unfaithful, I will scatter you among the nations. But if you return to me and keep my commandments to do them, though some of you were cast out to the farthest part of the heavens, yet I will gather them from there and bring them to the place which I have chosen as a dwelling for my name. Now these are your servants and your people whom you have redeemed by your great power and by your strong hand. Lord, I pray, please let your ear be attentive to the prayer of your servant and to the prayer of your servants who desire to fear your name, and let your servant prosper this day, I pray, and grant him mercy in the sight of this man, for I was the king's cupbearer. Father, thank you for your word this morning, that your word is powerful and true. It does not return unto you a void, but it accomplishes that for which it's sent to do. Father, I thank you that your word is anointed, and I pray, Father, as we receive your word into our hearts today, that, Lord, there will be change. Let change begin with us, in Jesus' name. Amen. Who wants to be a change maker? Amen? I want to be a change maker. I want to see change take place. How does God change a nation? Sometimes God does something historic. Something tremendous will break out. But most often, God just uses the ordinary folks just like you and me. And he changes. He brings about change through you and I, one person at a time. One person at a time. You think, well, I'm only one person. But you know what? You have influence with many other people. Amen? You can bring about change in your own family. And that's where it should begin. You can bring change about in your with your neighbors. You can bring change with, I mean, social media can be a good thing and it can be a bad thing. But I'll tell you, social media is an excellent way to connect with people and to bring about some change. You know, when I posted that statement from that I first read at the beginning about rise and rise again, and a friend of ours who used to be a police officer in Medicine Hat texts me and says, Bill, thank you for sharing that today. It's just what I needed to hear. So Sometimes just one word, one encouraging word can turn a situation around for somebody. Amen. We never know. Going into a grocery store and somebody, you run, bump into somebody. And the Holy Spirit just inspires you to speak something into that life. It can change a person's life. So often we just, we don't think it's serious. But if we have an ear to hear what the Spirit of the Lord is saying, we can bring about change. We can affect change in the lives of other people. In their community. But if we listen, we need to hear what God is saying. Not just saying something for the sake of saying it, but we need to hear what the Holy Spirit has to say. You know, when we went out to, I'm going to jump ahead on my notes here, but when we went out to Ontario, my buddy and his wife were there, and their son, who is 23 years old, lives at home with them, and he struggled. And over this past year, when I went to my aunt's funeral in Winnipeg, I stayed at their place, and he suffers from huge depression and low self-esteem and no hope, like Dane was talking about. He's got no future, no goals. I don't know if I shared this, but I shared this with you, Pastor Ray. He's standing against the wall, and I was in the house, and he's leaning up against the wall, and his head's down, and he's just totally devastated. And I said, Jordan, can I pray for you? Yeah. So I went over there and I prayed for him. Laid hands on him, I prayed for him. And I said, you want to accept Jesus in your heart? Just like that. And his mom's sitting there in the room. He said, yes, I do. He accepted Jesus into his heart that day. And so then he was, something changed in him. It was immediate change. The Spirit of God came upon him. There was immediate change. And so he started to ask me questions about the Bible and about Jesus. And then I shared with him after a while, I said, Jordan, you need to go downstairs. You got Netflix. And punch in the Jesus movie and watch the Passion of the Christ. And so he did. And so anyway, when we were talking, something transpired in him. For about 6 or 7 months, there was just a complete change in his life and in his attitude and things. But anyway, when he was out there this time, he wasn't so positive anymore. He was kind of reverting back to his old ways. So he had brought a friend with him, a tall fella. I called him Shorty, but he was 6'6". Looked like a beanpole. His name was Miles. And so my buddy and I were outside. We were talking till the wee hours of the morning. And Jordan and Miles came out, and there was a girl out there that Jordan knew from, you know, going to school. And she was over there, and they came out and they sat with us as we're sitting on the balcony overlooking the lake talking. And they started to engage. And I said, Lord, how do we reach these people? So the Holy Spirit started giving me some questions. So I started asking them, so what are your goals? What do you see yourself doing in your life? Where do you think you're going to go? And how do you think you're going to achieve those things? And they started to respond. You know, some of their answers were good, some were not so good. They were kind of fairy tale. And then Jordan, who had led to the Lord, he started to ask me more questions about the Bible and about different things that happened in the Bible. And so I was able to share with him, and my buddy's sitting right there, for about 2.5 hours, almost 3 hours, the gospel. And answering their questions about the gospel. And it was only because the Holy Spirit was helping me in these situations. And so at the end of it, the one girl, I said, so where do you think you're going to go? I said to the group, I said, where do you think you're going to go when you die? Bottom line is, where do you think you're going to when you die? And she had this New Age answer. I says, well, and I didn't say it rudely. I just said, you know, that's a great answer, but it says really not true. And I said, this is what the Bible says. And so I shared the gospel of Jesus Christ with him. And I said, are you ready to receive Jesus? And I'm talking to her. She's over here with my friend's son, Jordan. And Miles is kind of over here behind me, sitting in a chair. I said, so are you ready to receive Jesus? He says, I am. Turned around. There's Miles. I am right now, he says. So what? I wasn't even focusing on him. I was focusing more on her. He says, I am right now. So I shared the gospel again. I said, you want to see Jesus? Yeah. He accepted Jesus Christ in his heart.
Oh, that's awesome.
Can God change a nation? Can God change a nation? Can God change young people? There's so many young people today that have no hope. They're living at home with their parents until they're 30 years old. A lot of these kids. They're not kids anymore. But they have no vision. They have no hope for the future. They're lost. I was so excited when this young kid gave his heart to the Lord. Amen? The next night, we're out there again, sitting again. And so Emmy had gone home, and so Jordan comes over with this young fella who lives out there with his dad. And he's 14 years old, but he looks like he's about 19. He's tall, he's 6 feet, and he's in grade 9. And he's probably about 200 pounds. But he acts like he's about 19 years old, very mature. So they're inside playing Monopoly, the three of them. And we're outside talking. Next thing you know, this kid comes out. And he sits on the balcony with Wally and I. And he's just sitting there. So Jordan comes out and he says, well, you want to come in and play some more? He says, no, I just want to hang out here. Why do you want to come out and hang out here? But I believe it's the Holy Spirit drawing him. And so I didn't know him that well, so I just began to ask him some questions, get to know him. He shared with me that his parents had got divorced. He was 14 when he was 10. So I was asking him, you know, that must have been tough. Asking him some questions about school, and he says, yeah, drugs are such a big thing there. And tell me about peer pressure, you know, the things that these kids, he says, 75% of the kids go up behind the school and smoke dope at recess and lunch break. He said, they pressure me to come and go, come with them and join with them. I said, so what do you do? He says, I love music, so I just go to the music room and play. God loves young Darian. There's so much pressure out there in this world with our own kids. Pressure to do the things that are not good for them. Pressure to do things that will get them into trouble. You know, someone once told me a while ago, he says, well, I don't think you can relate to young people. I said, you're probably right, I can't, but the Holy Spirit can. The Holy Spirit can. The Holy Spirit knows what kids are hurting in. And so I just wanted to build a relationship with him because the first time I met him, and I didn't want to push him too hard. So after we were done talking, and he was getting up to go, and I said, Darian, can I pray for you? He stands up and he says, are you Catholic? I said, nope. But I just got Jesus. And so he allowed me to pray for him. And I just prayed, you know, I said, well, what is it that I can pray for you for? And he hummed and hawed for about 3 or 4 minutes, and then he came up with this one thing that he wanted me to pray for. But I knew there was more in his heart that he wasn't comfortable sharing with me at that moment. And I talked with that with my buddy a little later, Wally. Wally, who knows him, has known him for many years, said, you know, probably if I hadn't been there, he would have opened up more. And it's true, he probably would have. But because Wally was there, he wasn't able to share his whole heart. What if you remember Derry and pray for him? Amen? But I'm just saying all this. I'm saying all that. My experience is that God will use the whomsoever to change a nation. God isn't looking for perfection, folks. He's looking for someone who has a heart for him and for the things of God. Amen? Sometimes we get, well, I can't do this because, you know, I'm got this issue or I got that issue. If we waited until we were perfect, we would never be used by God. Some people are waiting for perfection, and they'll go to their grave and never be used by God. They'll never lead someone to Christ because they're waiting for perfection. The only one who was ever perfect in the whole Bible was Jesus Christ. The rest of them, who God used, were people, ordinary people. Elijah, a man just like ourselves, it says in James, prayed, and it did not rain for 3.5 years. It says a man just like you and I, the man who had the same struggles as you and I, the man who was battling the same issues as you and I, prayed and it did not rain for 3.5 years. That's pretty powerful. That's a pretty amazing miracle. It didn't rain for 3.5 years. And then it says he prayed again and it rained. Just because you are not perfect, don't stop from allowing God to use you. Sometimes we get bound up with fear when I don't have the words to speak. Well, who will, you know someone else who didn't have the words to speak? When God asked him to go in, set the children of Israel free from captivity? Moses. Well, I don't speak very well, Lord, and I get kind of tongue-tied. I don't speak very well, and I get kind of tongue-tied. Sometimes I get tongue-tied, too. I don't speak that well. Sometimes I come up with my own words. I need a drink of water. As my son-in-law often informs me, and my daughter, they laugh about the words that I come with. There's a word, it's called chameleon. And I always pronounce it Shyamalan. I don't know why. I think it gets rubbed in quite often. Along with a few other words that I have abused. God will use the ordinary to do extraordinary things. He will use the ordinary to do extraordinary things. If we will believe, if it's true, I must believe it. If it's true, I must believe it. Is it true that God can use me? He can use you? Then you must believe it. I must believe it, God, that you can use me. I believe God's going to use me to raise the dead one day. I believe it. Because I know it's true. Because it says in the scriptures that greater things than these shall we do. Jesus raised the dead. He says, the things that I do, greater things than these shall you do. It's true. It's true. Amen? Then I must believe it. Jesus used a bunch of disciples to usher in the word that came from Joel chapter 2. That I will pour out my spirit upon all flesh, and your sons and daughters will prophesy, and young men will dream dreams. Amen? God used a group of people in the upper room, and they ushered in the new church, basically, in the book of Acts. They waited in the upper room, and they brought forth the anointing. The Holy Spirit fell upon all people. 3,000 people got saved that one day when Peter stood up to preach. Just think about that. You know, people are hungry. They're hungry for something that they don't have, something that is more than what they have. They're hungry for it. And we have it. We have the anointing. Man, I love when coming to church, I love the anointing of God when we're entering into worship. And the Holy Spirit is present amongst us. I get inspired. I don't know about you, but I get inspired. And oftentimes you've heard me share a word that God has placed in my heart. It's the Holy Spirit. It isn't me, it's the Holy Spirit. But I'm open, and I'm hungry to hear it. And if we open up our hearts and we're hungry to hear it, God will give it to us. He'll allow himself to work wonders through us. You know, all these people were not perfect, but they're working towards perfection. All the people that God used weren't perfect, but they're working towards perfection. And you know, the Bible says that He works all things to the good of those who love Him and who are called according to His will and purpose. So God is working in our lives, even in our imperfection. He's using us, but He's also working to change us. Amen? He's working in our hearts. He's working in our spirit to bring about change. Why did I weep when I watched that movie? Why did I weep when I heard that song? God was working in me. His passion was working in my heart because I was open I'm going to move along here pretty quick. You know, Daniel used the word, talked about Abraham this morning as well. He said, Abraham moved south in Genesis chapter 20 to the Negev and lived for a while between Kadesh and Shur. And then he moved on to Gerar. While living there as a foreigner, Abraham introduced his wife Sarah by saying, she is my sister. So King Abimelech of Gerar sent for Sarah and had her brought to him at his place. Abraham, Bible refers to him as a man of faith. Great man of faith. He lied. Said his wife was his sister. It was true to some in some respects, but it was still a lie. But God calls him the great man of faith. How about David? Convicted murderer and adulterer. And God calls him a man after his own heart. The Bible says he's a man after God's own heart. God wasn't looking for perfection when he used these guys. He was looking for people who loved him with all their heart. God is looking for us. Say, Lord, I love you. As we were worshiping this morning, there's such a presence of the Lord, and people are raising their hands. And you know, you just have a tangible presence of Holy Spirit here. You know, the love for God. People closing their eyes and just focusing on God. It brings God such delight when we turn our eyes off the situation that we're in. We turn our eyes off the people around us and we just give our whole heart to God. Lord, I just worship you. You're my king. You're my deliverer. You're my help in times of trouble. You're my provider. You're my healer, Lord. I'm just giving you all the glory and the praise due your holy name. Today, I've just surrendered my life to you. You know, change makers recognize the need for change and believe that change is possible. Like I said before, if you don't believe that change is possible, it's not going to happen. If you don't believe that God can change our community, probably not going to happen. We need to believe that God can change our community. We need to believe that God can change my situation, my financial situation. We need to believe that God can reach my neighbor. You know, we just moved here about eight months ago to a new place. And getting to know our neighbors. Getting to spend some time with them. Folks, you need to get to know your neighbors. You need to know who they are. You need to find out what their struggles are. You know, don't preach at them. Just go there and love on them. Get to know your community. Get to know what their needs are. You know, as we reach out to people one by one, God can change a community. God can change a nation. A change maker is a problem solver, not a problem analyst. Problem analyst examines a problem, identifies the cause of the problem, and can give a detailed breakdown of the problem. But that's where it ends. He doesn't do anything at all to change or solve the problem he identifies. The world today is full of problem analysts. I know we got a lot of sports fans here. And I probably am one of them guys that's a couch coach. Man, what did you make that play for? That was the dumbest thing you ever did. Right? We can analyze it and we say, well, this is what they should have done or this is the play they should have ran. Well, what the world needs today are problem solvers, not problem analysts. What good does it do to any organization, people, or family if we critically analyze all their problems and then leave them as they are? You don't offer any advice or suggestions or do anything that can change things for the better. Nehemiah took time to analyze a problem, to see the extent of the damage done to the walls of Jerusalem. But he didn't end it there. In verse 17 and 20, he came up with a plan of action to solve the problem or to change the situation. You see a problem. Be a problem solver. Man, there's nothing worse than gathering around people who are always negative. Well, we can't do that because, you know, this is this way and that's that way. Be a problem solver. I always tell people, change your confession, change your life. Change your confession, change your life. What is coming out of your mouth? You know, people speak so negatively. They are draining, folks. Those kinds of people are draining on you. I'm not saying to abandon them, but you know, you need to help them to see the good things in life and help them to see that they need to change in order to bring about change in their own situation. God wants us to be problem solvers, not problem analysts. You know, change makers committed to making changes for a lifetime. It's not just something that I do one day and that's it. God wants us to continue to be change makers every day of our lives. I can bring change. Every day of my life, I may run into somebody who I don't know or somebody who just needs a word of encouragement. Every day of my life, there's an opportunity for me to bring about change. I just need to hear. Amen? God, what are you doing in this situation? A change maker makes positive changes. There's people who bring about change, but they're not always positive. Amen? We had a new government here almost 4 years ago, and a lot of the changes that were brought about were not very positive. We have a government down in the United States that came in almost 4 years ago, and a lot of the changes that he brought about were very positive, especially for the body of Christ and for the unborn. A man not known as a Christian, but is exemplifying godly principles. Amen? Bringing about change in the United States. Many people start something new. They introduce a change, but the question is, does what they have introduced help bless and impact humanity? What I have, does it really impact and bless humanity? Or am I just bringing about change for the sake of change? God wants us to use our gifts to bring about change that's going to bless and help humanity. Amen? No matter how bad things may be today, I'm going to end here. I want to encourage you to believe that a change is possible. Just don't believe it in your heart. Let it sink right down in your heart. Then take another step. Be available to tangible things that will bring about positive changes. And before you know it, you will testify of an unbelievable change in your life, your family, and your church. People, I'm just going to use this for example. They're in a marriage, and it's stagnant, and they're blaming for change. Well, I'll hope it changes. Hope next year changes. Well, or 5 years if this doesn't change. Or 1 year if this doesn't change. What are you doing today to bring about change? Have you looked at your own self and your impact in your own marriage? Or in a relationship? Is it stale? Is it stagnant? What can I do to bring about change, instead of what can she do or what can he do? Amen? Change starts with us, folks. Change starts here. As we open up our hearts, as we soften our hearts to hear from God, God begins to bring about change. And I'm listening to stuff, and I'm weeping inside. And what's going on? Why is this happening? God is bringing about change in my own heart. He's softening me. He's giving me more grace for people than I've ever had before. More understanding than I've ever had before. Where once I would have written somebody off, I now have more empathy, more love, more passion. Do you believe that God can change a nation? it's true, I must believe it. If it's true, my family situation can change. I must believe it. If it's true that God wants to bring change in my financial situation, I must believe it. You ready for change? Anybody here ready for change? You're ready to be a change maker. Maybe you're here today, you've never heard the gospel of Jesus Christ about how much he loves you and died for you. It's the first time you've heard that message. Change begin for you today. If you want somebody to stand with you and pray with you, say, Lord, I need change. It can start today, folks. It can start today. Gannis, can you play that song again, please? While this song is playing, and you just want somebody to stand with you and pray with you, I just invite you to come forward. We have a prayer team that will stand in agreement with you. Pastor Cam, Pastor Ray here will pray with you.